We're holding on Kuftes on an Aleph, the fourth line. We're in the middle of discussing a machlokas of the Yehuda and the Chachamim about the case in our Mishnah where a drop of milk fell on a piece of meat that's in a pot. So we had, Rabbi Yehuda had said it gives a flavor into that piece. So that piece itself, Chaticha Nasas Nevela, the whole piece itself becomes completely osir, assuming, of course, there's not shishim times the milk. So therefore, the whole piece becomes osir, and therefore now any flavor of it that exudes into the rest of the pot is going to pass through the rest of the pot. And even if you have, even if it's more than 60, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say no good because min b'minay, because it's one min in the same min, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that such a thing is not bottle. The Chachamim had said that it has to give a flavor in order for it to be osir. It would have to give a flavor into everything, the gravy and the shreds that fall to the bottom of the pot and the actual pieces of meat themselves. Then we had Rebbe saying that depends. If he didn't stir the pot or didn't cover it, then it seems more logical to follow Rebbe Yehuda's view. Because since he didn't cover it, so that piece absorbed much more than anything else, and then we can talk about Chaticha Nasas Nevela. As opposed to the Chachamim, with the Chachamim's opinion would work better if he stirred it or covered it. So we started talking about this in terms of the din of Eshel Seichter. We learned yesterday that there was machlokas between two different groups of Amregoyim on the question of Eshel Seichter. Hypothetically, if you were able to squeeze out enough of the Isser from the Heter, would it become Mutter again? According to, we had three Tanoim, and with three Amiroim, rather, Rav, Rav, Panina, and Rabbi Yochanan, who say it doesn't matter, even if you could squeeze out all of the Isser, it would still remain also, it's intrinsically also Chaticha Nasas Nevela. As opposed to them, we have three others, Shmuel, Rav Shimon Bar Levi, and Rish Lakish, who said Efshel Seichter Mutter, meaning according to them, even though the original piece of meat absorbed milk, but then it exuded it into the rest of the pot, and now it's all mixed together, then they would say that, fine, the original piece itself is no more osir than anything else, and therefore it's not a problem, the minimum, and therefore as long as you have 60 times the amount of milk, then you would be good. So now we were discussing then that this machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim seems to map onto this matter of Efshel Seichter. Rabbi Yehuda would say Efshel Seichter osir, and therefore, it doesn't matter. The one piece absorbed milk, and even though he stirred it afterwards, too late, it already absorbed milk and became osir, and now the flavor of it exudes to the rest of the pot and makes it osir as well. And we said that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if he was stirring it from beginning to end, we could argue, lo niu yafa yafa, like tisi yafa yafa, maybe he didn't fully stir it, or maybe he didn't fully cover it, and therefore it's still, this piece absorbed more than anything else, and therefore you're going to have Chaticha Nasas Nevela. The Rosh Yosef from the Prima Gaudim points out an interesting point over here. If he stirred it to begin with, then even appointed of Yehuda, it might be mutter no matter what. If he stirred it properly, then it gets dispersed throughout the whole pot. And if he didn't stir it properly, then only that piece will be osir, and it won't yet asir the other pieces. That is why the Gemara is talking about he stirred at the beginning and at the end, so that way it's enough for, now the problem is, maybe at the beginning he didn't stir properly, so it became osir, and then later on he stirred better and it made all the other ones osir as well. In any case, that was appointed of Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, Omamar, so now we learned in the Braise, so let's analyze what's coming. Let's analyze the second part. So again, Rebbe had said, so the Yehuda would hold his opinion whether there was stirring or not. Rebbe is saying, if he didn't stir or he didn't cover it, and was saying, that's it. So Rabbi Yehuda himself would say, even if you did stir it or cover it, maybe you didn't stir it thoroughly or cover it properly. Rebbe would say that when he actually didn't stir it or cover it at all, then we would say that fine, that piece becomes also Chaticha Nasas Nevela, and then eventually it answers everything else. And he said that it means that, in other words, so Rebbe holds, Efshel Seichter also, Rebbe holds of this opinion that even though you could squeeze out the Isser, nevertheless it would remain also, and because Rebbe Yehuda holds, Min Benina is also, therefore the whole thing becomes also. So again, we're saying Rebbe Yehuda would ask it even if he's stirring it the whole time. Rebbe would say it's also only if he stirred it later on, after it already absorbed the milk. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Omamar, now let's continue with the Braisa, with the other half of Rebbe's statement. We said, Rebbe says it seems more logical to accept the opinion of the Chachamim when he did, when he stirred it and he did cover it. So again, my near, my kisa, when during the cooking process did he stir it or cover it? Do you mean that he stirred it at the end after it already absorbed the milk, but not at the beginning? So first it had time to absorb the milk all by itself and become usur, and then only later on he stirred it. He covered it later on, but it wasn't covered earlier. We just established that according to Rebbe, he would accept Rebbe Yehuda's opinion in that regard, because he said, according to Rebbe, what would be the case where he didn't stir it at the beginning, or it wasn't covered at the beginning, and later on he stirred it or covered it? Well, then Rebbe says he would hold like Rebbe Yehuda. So when Rebbe speaks of near the kisa, when he talks about the Chachamim, near mitchilavan sof, the kisa mitchilavan sof, he means that in the case of the Chachamim, when would it be mutter if he stirred it the whole time, or it was covered the whole time? So if he stirred it only later on, then he would say, like Rebbe Yehuda, the whole thing becomes also, if it's stirred the whole time, then Rebbe would say, look, this piece didn't absorb milk more than any of the other ones. It all got dispersed very evenly. We can assume it got dispersed very evenly throughout the pot. Therefore, you only need shishim in the whole contents of the pot to be mevatel the milk, and that's that. Rebbe Yehuda, as we said before, is not going to like that idea, because he's going to say, still, maybe you didn't stir it thoroughly, and therefore maybe more one part of it absorbed more than the other. Okay, so those would be the differences. In fact, when we say near mitchilavad soif, so then that would mean according to the Chachamim, it would be enough. According to many of the Achronim, it would be enough if you stirred it at the beginning. You don't really need the soif, since we mentioned before the tchila and the soif. So therefore, the Gemara uses that expression over here. On the other hand, we said before the Rosh Yosef, the Tumim Gadim, points out that if you stir at the beginning, even Rabbi Yehuda would allow it, because again, one way or the other, either you stirred it properly and it got dispersed throughout everything, or you didn't, and then it's not assuring the other pieces, as long as you removed it right away. So that's why the Gemara mentions of the year near Betchila and Betchila Van Sof from beginning to end. So that means Mikval, now the implication is the fact that Rebbe is saying he'll accept the view of the Chachamim in that case, that implies Dirabbanan Sabri, the Chachamim themselves hold, near Besofla, near Betchila, even if he only stirred it later on, but not at the beginning. So in other words, this one piece first absorbed a lot of milk and became also, nevertheless, the Chachamim are not bothered by that. Or if he covered it later on and didn't cover it at the beginning, mutter, then it will become mutter. Amukasabi, efshal asoif de mutter. So you see that they hold efshal asoif de mutter. They're going to hold the original piece. Yes, it absorbed milk, so therefore it became also, so there wasn't 60. But now that you stirred it or later on you covered it, then the Chachamim are going to say, very well, then now at this point, the flavor disperses of the milk disperses throughout the whole pot. Now we can say, in effect, it's been mostly squeezed out of this piece and dispersed through everything else, and therefore the Chachamim say, good, then in that case you only need shishim in the whole pot, connected the drop of milk, and we're not worried about the fact that this piece originally absorbed more issue. What do you mean by
stewing exactly? What does that mean in other words,
you're stewing the pot, you're mixing things around in it. So now what happens
you're
is...
You're stirring it or you're stewing it?
Stewing with two R's. Stewing. You take a spoon or whatever, and you mix around the contents of the pot. So now whatever was absorbed in one gets more evenly dispersed throughout the whole thing.
That's stirring.
That's what I said, stirring.
Okay.
So the point is, in other words, so we have a few different possibilities. We have, well, you didn't stir at all, and then just this piece, and this piece became osur. So we're saying once you take it out, then you may not have a problem. Then we have, if you didn't stir at the beginning, So then we're saying if you stirred it at the beginning, right after it fell in, so according to the Rosh Yosef, even Rabbi Yosef, even Rabbi Yehuda might allow that, because again, it got dispersed very evenly, and now you're leaning shishim, connected the whole thing. According to other achronim, not necessarily. In any case, if you stirred the pot, and you mixed up the contents of the pot later on, then the Chachamim are going to say, now we're saying the Chachamim would actually allow it, because they're not worried about the fact that first one piece absorbed more than milk, because now, as you mix around the contents of the pot, then it gets absorbed into everything else evenly, and then you only need shishim in the whole pot, connected the whole thing. Meanwhile, Rabbi Huda is not going to allow it, because Yehuda is going to say it's also because Efshel Asarich they're also. Because he's going to say that it doesn't matter the first piece, because the piece became also, and now not only can it not become mutter, even though the flavor of it disperses to everything else, but on top of that, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say min b'min le bottle, and therefore the flavor of it as it disperses to the rest of the soup is going to acid the whole thing. As we learned yesterday, we're talking about where it's a thick soup, where the body of the actual soup is basically made up of meat juices and things like that, and therefore it's considered min mimino. And then if you stirred the whole time, then we're saying, so if you stirred the whole time, so in principle it might be mutter, but Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that no, what if you didn't stir it properly? Whereas the Chachamim would allow it. And again, the Chachamim themselves would say, even if you didn't stir it at the beginning, only later on, then it would be mutter al makasavid, showing that they hold efshel seich de mutter, that as long even that as long as you could squeeze it out, it would become mutter again, and therefore according to them it would be fine. So we see that the two groups of Amiroyim who argue on efshel seich de, we see that they're preceded in that by the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the same point. Okay. But now, Amalei Achami Gifti the Ravina. However, Achami Gifti asked Ravina, "Mimai de be'efshel asoichte pliki." How do we know that the machloikus is actually on efshel asoichte? Duma efshel asoichte dibra hakol osur. Maybe you would say that they both agree that efshel asoichte would nevertheless remain osur, and we would also say that the Chachamim would always, we would also say that maybe he didn't stir it properly. So the Maharam gives an explanation is because since the Chachamim are saying that it has to give a in order to be osur without 60, it has to give a flavor into the great into the soup and the shreds and the pieces, etc. So that means, in other words, the implication is that they're arguing only basically on one point. So we would assume that they agree with him on the two other fundamental points of here, efshel asoich de osur, and also that they agree with him that what if he didn't stir the pot first. So the only machloikus maybe would be b'chacham min b'minay k'mitzvahi. Maybe the only machloikus would be about this business of min b'minay. Rabbi Yehuda is saying min b'minay like bottle. It doesn't matter how much hector you have compared to the isur. Rabbi Yehuda would say if it's the same min, it doesn't matter. It always remains osur. Whereas according to the chachamim, you can say it'll be bottle b'shishim, and that's that. So why don't you assume that? For Rabbi Yehuda l'taimei d'ama min b'minay like bottle. So Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his shita, where he holds throughout Shas that. Where he holds throughout Shas min b'mina le bottle, and Rabbanon the time out down min b'mina in bottle, and the Chachamim are disagreeing, and they follow the usual shita and say that min b'mina is bottle. So why don't we assume that that's the sole machlokas that they would both agree. So in other words, Rashi explains that when the Chachamim are saying when does it become also only if it gives a flavor into the soup and into all the other components over there, who says that they're talking about the drop of milk and saying if it is enough to give a flavor, then the whole thing becomes also, implying that they would say the piece itself that the milk fell on will in fact be mutter. Maybe in fact the piece that it fell on is no question going to be also, but when Rabbi Yehuda is saying the rest of it is also, even if the pot is 1,000 times the size, when it's all the min, that would be where the Chachamim would disagree and say that it doesn't answer the rest of the pot. And even Rashi continues that when Rebbe says, Roya Nis Divir of Yehuda, when Rebbe says, I agree with Rebbe Yehuda, that would be also and the other pieces would also be ossered. We didn't stir it. So he would say, again, because it means he didn't stir it at the beginning, so therefore, so now it already was, it's too late, it already absorbed Isser and became Chaticha Nas Nevela, and Min Meminu Le Bottle. And then he would say, if he stirred it the whole time, then he would say that the fact is that piece never became ossered in the first place any more than any of the others, and it's not even Min Meminu, because you're talking about milk versus meat. And that would be the soul machlokas, and that would be how we'd understand Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and Rebbe's opinions. So we would say, now they would both agree the peace itself becomes also forever, the question would just be whether it answers everything else. And Rabbi answers, Hi, my, what kind of question is that? If you're going to say that the Rabbanan hold over here, that like Rabbi Yehuda regarding Min B'minoi, and they agree with him on the point of Min B'minoi over Efshal Asochte Pligi, and that the Machlokas is about Efshal Asochte, can this piece having become also become Mutter again? So if you learn that way, and again, then it would mean Anshut Titin Tam until it gives a flavor that it would refer to the original drop of milk that started the whole trouble. Well, then we can understand. Then we can understand why Rebbe uses the expression that it seems logical to accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in this case, where he didn't stir it to begin with, and the Chachamim's opinion where he did stir it to begin with, because it never became ulcer. So now, in other words, the Chachamim are going to say, so in other words, we're going to have, within the opinion of the Chachamim itself, the Chachamim themselves are going to say it didn't even matter when he stirred it, as long as at some point he stirred the pot, as long as at some point he mixed up the contents of the pot, then the flavor that this one absorbed will disperse into the rest of the pot, and they hold Efshel Sosten Mutter, and therefore this piece will go back to being Mutter, and we're not worried about Bittul, so therefore it won't be a problem in Min B'minoi. And meanwhile, but Rebbe would say, no, that much I can't accept, but I can accept that if he stirred it to begin with, therefore never absorbed any more than any other piece, then we're going to say there's no problem in Min B'minoi. So if you understand the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim like that, like we were until now, then very good. We understand what Rebbe is saying. It seems logical to accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in the one case and the Chachamim's opinion in the other case. Namely, that the Chachamim are going to be maple even where the stirring was only at the end. And Rebbe would say, that much I can't accept, but I can accept that if they stirred it from beginning to end, from when the drop of milk fell in until the end, until later on, then that would be fine. Ella, but, says Rebbe, if you're going to tell me that they all agree that Efshel Asochte is also according to both of them, and the Chachamim are going to allow it, when the Chachamim say it's allowed, it's mutter, whether he stirred to begin with or whether not, it doesn't even mean that piece itself. It means the rest of the pieces, and they're holding that the Machlokas would be about Min Meminoi, where the Chachamim would say that it's bottle, and the Yehuda would say it's not. And then Adjit Tits in Tam, until it gives a flavor, would refer not to the milk, but rather to the piece itself. The problem with that is that then it doesn't really fit with Rebbe's wording, because then it comes out that the whole focus is on Rebbe Yehuda's opinion. Hi, nearing the Rebbe Yehuda, the ain't nearing me boiler. Then rather, instead of Rebbe saying it seems to us that we should accept the word of the Chachamim in this case, rather Rebbe should say it seems logical to accept Rebbe Yehuda's case where he didn't stir it at the beginning, but not when he stirred it at the beginning. There's no reason to mention the Chachamim. Because, again, according to that way of looking at it, we would say that if he stirred it at the beginning, if we were to say the Chachamim are concerned that maybe he didn't stir it properly, then still they would also agree that stirring it right away is going to be a problem. The question is only, is it going to be mutter if you stirred it later on and you have 60 and then the Chachamim are going to allow and Rebbe is going to hold up Rebbe Yehuda min b'mina is not bottle, so they're all also. So no, the fact that Rebbe even mentions the opinion of the Chachamim and says it seems logical to accept the opinion of the Chachamim, implies that the Chachamim are actually going to be matter even in the first case where he stirred it right away and actually ticked in time until it gives a flavor, refers back to the drop of milk, and therefore they're saying Efshel Asochte Mutter, and therefore so we see after all that they do in fact disagree on this point of Efshel Sechta also Umutter. So, in other words, the fact that Rebbe speaks of the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda versus the opinion of the Chachamim implies that there is a certain case where the Chachamim would be moderate completely, namely where it did absorb the milk, but then afterwards it exuded it, and he stirred it only later on, and still the Chachamim would be moderate in that case. And Rebbe is saying that no, I can't accept that, but I can accept that if he stirred from beginning to end, then it would be mutter. And the only way to understand that would be if the Chachamim say Efshel Sechta mutter, so they would say, even though this piece of meat absorbed milk and became osir, nevertheless, it's not chatif and nasis nevela, you can eventually have that, you can eventually have the milk exudes from it into everything else, and therefore it becomes evenly dispersed throughout the pond. Once you stir, even though you only stirred it later on, and therefore you're fine. So it's clear then, says Ravina, that the machloka, the crux of the machlokas must be that point, actual certainty, also or not, and not min b'min le bottle, because if the only argument was min b'min le bottle, then it wouldn't matter whether the stirring took place at the beginning or not, because either way you'd be talking about this piece becomes also, and the question would be whether everything else becomes mutter, but then there's no reason for Rebbe to mention the Chachamim's opinion at all. You should just say that we can accept min b'min le bottle in the one case, but not the other. The Tuba and Lydia, and the Gemara says that's it. There's no other way around it. So it's clear that's the nub of their machlokas is Efshel Sechta or not, and therefore we're justified in saying that the Amoraim who argued on that point before are following in the footsteps of the Yehuda and the Chachamim respectively. Now Rashi goes into pointing out over here what is the actual halacha like. It comes out we're saying that Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Efshel Sechta also. In addition, we also have the three Amoraim before, Rav, Rabbi Yehuda, and Panina, who also hold that way. Now, Rashi points out, when it comes to matters, so first of all, we have among the Tanoim, we have the Yehuda and Rebbe together against the Chachamim, who both hold Efshel Sechta also, it comes out from the way we worked it out here. In addition, among the Amoraim, when you have a Machlokas and Issa Vehetu between Rav and Shmuel, the Halacha is almost always like Rav. On the same thing, certainly when Rabbi Yochanan argues against Shmuel, the halacha is nearly always like Rabbi Yochanan. We had a short story before on Daf Tzadik Hei where Rabbi Yochanan used to think of Shmuel as his colleague. Okay, he discovered, then Shmuel made him aware that he actually is very knowledgeable in the halachas of Tereifas, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is very impressed and starts calling Shmuel his Rebbe. But nevertheless, when you have a machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, when you have a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the halacha is generally like Rabbi Yochanan. So that would mean, in other words, Rashi says, the halacha would be like, it would come out, the halacha would be like Rabbi Yehuda in both of these aspects. Both as far as Efshel Sechta also, and also as far as, and also as far as, And also as far as min b'min le bottle, Rashi says. So therefore, the piece itself is going to become osir. And Rashi gives another example. Let's say you have a piece of meat that was cooked with the chalav attached to it, and it has an nose in tam. Even if the chalav is not a kazayis, it would still be osir, and it would still osir the meat. So therefore, Rashi says that we would hold like both of them. We would hold like Rabbi Yehuda in both these things. Both efshel sechta osir, meaning chaticha nasis nevela, the piece itself becomes osir and can never become mutter again. And we would also say that min b'min le bottle, and therefore case like this when we're talking about thick soup, then the whole thing would become osir, even though there's 60 neg of the piece that absorbed the milk. That's a point of Rashi, and then Rashi goes on to explain in some detail about that based on other Gemaras. Now, as far as those two points, many Rishonim disagree with Rashi on the second. They accept what Rashi is saying as far as Efshel Sechta, fine, because it's clear from the Gemara that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan hold that way, and again, we have strong reason to say the halacha is like them, therefore we do say chatif and nasas nevela. As we learned before, as we learned in the previous parak, there is machlokas rishonim, does chatif and nasas nevela apply only to meat and milk, like we're learning about in this parak, or does it apply to other isurim as well? That's a different machlokas. The Beis Yosef paskins, the Machaber paskins, like the opinion that says that it applies only to Bosom and Cholov, but I'm more consistently paskins like the opinion that it applies to all isurim. But as far as min b'minah lebatul, most of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi and say, no, the halacha is not like the Yehuda, and that the halacha is like the Chachamim, that min b'minah can be batul as long as you have six. You won't be able to tell whether there's a flavor there or not, of course, but because it's all min b'minah. But nevertheless, most of the Rishonim learn that the halacha is that min b'minah is batul, and therefore, so applying that to our case over here. So if the drop of milk falls on the piece, so now if right away, so again, if you stirred it right away and it got dispersed evenly throughout the pot, then you're much better off. Then you're not dealing with min b'minah in the first place, and therefore you have much less trouble. But if you didn't stir it to begin with, and that piece became nevela, it will answer all the other ones if you don't have 60. If you have 60, then it'll still be able to be mevatel then. So there's a lot more complications than that. There's a lot more details and complications about that in the relevant halachas in Shulchan Aruch. There's quite a bit of discussion between the Shach and the Taz and other Noseh Kelim about all these details, when we say it's also and when we say it's mutter and when we can judge by shishim and when by not. But these are at least the basics of the Okay. As a practical matter, if this ever happens, then make sure to ask the Shaila right away and be careful to give all the details as much as possible, because as we can see over here, slight differences may make a huge difference as far as what the actual final halacha is in a particular case. All right. So now we're going to talk about, we're talking about bosta b'cholav, meat and milk. You have one place in the animal where those two things come together, namely in the udder of the animal where the milk is formed in the first place. So now we're going to talk in our Mishnah about that, and then we're going to talk about other parts of the body that also contain substances that are also, and what we do with them as far as preparing them for food. So the Mishnah says a kachal, the udder of an animal. So when you shecht it, you're often gonna find milk in it. Koda, you have to first rip it open and you have to take out the milk. But if you didn't rip it open, ain't over olav, then he's not over for cooking or for eating it. Because as we're gonna learn later on in the parah, this is what's called cholov shchuta. It's called milk of an animal that was shechted, because after all, you only found it in the animal after it was shechted. And the Gemara later on in the Perek learns from Sukkim that's not considered milk on a d'oraisa level. So even though, of course, chemically and physiologically and everything, it's identical to milk that would have come out while the animal was alive, but halacha doesn't consider it milk d'oraisa, and therefore it wouldn't be also on a d'oraisa level. Whether it's also d'rabbanon, if you didn't rip it, we're going to see in the Gemara. Next, a lathe. So that's as far as the udder. And then in addition, also you have another point as well. You have Rashi points out further on as well that with the udder, there's another reason to be maple as well. Not only is it cholov shchuta, but also after all, this milk is still in its original place. It never even left the hollows and cavities inside the udder where it collects, and therefore you have more reason to be maple with it, for the same reason that, for example, when it comes to blood, we have certain heterim when it comes to blood that remained in its place and didn't move. We have certain heterim that apply to it that wouldn't apply to blood that flowed from one place to another. So in the same way over here, when you have milk that not only is full of shvuta, but on top of that, it remains in the same places, in the same glands or whatever where it was when the animal was alive, then therefore you have more reason to be maker with it, and therefore, as the Gemara is going to discuss on other days, maybe if you didn't rip the udder open, maybe even it's mutter, even if you cooked it, even d'rabbanan, and we'll talk about that soon. But in any case, the point is, it's definitely mutter d'oraisa. Next, halev, what about the heart? So the heart also contains a lot of blood in it. And unlike now, the idea is you salt meat in order to remove the blood, but that's only effective for the blood. That's only effective for the blood that's absorbed within the meat itself, within the capillaries and whatever. But when you have a collection of blood and a solid collection of blood in one place, then you actually have to remove it. For example, earlier in the Masechta, we had certain large blood vessels where we said you have to cut them in order to allow the blood to flow out, and otherwise you're not going to be able to kasher them. So in the same way over here, the heart contains a collection of blood. So again, you have to rip it open before you salt it, and then you have to remove the collection of blood that's inside it at the time of the shechita. Loy kroy, but if he didn't rip it, ain't over olav, then he's not over and he's not over on an Issa Kodesh. Now, Rashi explains that we're talking about over here, specifically, we're talking that Rashi brings from a Gemara and Trisus, we're talking about this is a bruised heart, we're talking about where the total amount of blood inside the heart is less than a kezayis. That is why, if he didn't rip it open before the shita and he cooked it with the blood still inside, b'dieved, he won't be chayav kares because he's not eating a kezayis of blood. As far as the flesh of the heart, the muscle of the heart, Rashi points out, that also won't be a problem because the Gemara tells us in Pesachim that the heart muscle is smooth and therefore it doesn't absorb the blood that easily. You have most muscle in the body is rougher, it's striated, it's fibrous, and therefore it absorbs, as opposed to the heart muscle is a different type of muscle. I think even in medicine they call it smooth muscle or something, and therefore it's smoother and therefore it doesn't absorb the blood. So now you cook the heart with the blood in it. So now if it had been an animal heart, Rashi points out, then a person would be chayav kares, because then when he eats it, he's eating a kezayis of blood with it, because the heart contains more than a kezayis of blood. Therefore, he'd be chayav kares, at least for that, the flesh of the heart itself. Fine, wouldn't be also either way, because it doesn't absorb, but he'd be chayav kares for that kezayis of blood. But here, where it's the heart of a bird, and it doesn't contain a kezayis, then there's no kares, and the meat of the heart itself is not also. Tosfos, on the other hand, points out that the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara in Menachos, points out that if you cook blood, that if a person cooks blood, it's also not also daraisa. So it wouldn't matter whether we're talking about an animal heart, or it wouldn't matter whether we're talking about an animal heart or a bird heart over here. Either way, the blood is cooked already, and therefore the person wouldn't be chayav kares with it. As far as the point, Tosfos also disagrees about the second point where Rashi is saying the heart is hard to smooth and therefore it won't absorb the blood. Tosfos points out that no, the Gemara discusses that in Pesachim and does mention that point, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the final word on the subject. In fact, we could say that it would in fact absorb. What would be the difference? Tosfos says, if you roasted the heart, then it's one thing, because then the roasting causes the blood to drip out, and therefore, so you can say kibbolei kachpeltei, as if it absorbs anything, then it immediately exudes it because of the roasting. But to cook it in a pot, then Tosfos says we can't necessarily accept that, and we would not say that the heart itself would be mutter. So in short, in other words, you have two different opinions between Rashi, two different arguments between Rashi and Tosfos about what we're talking about over here. We're talking about dafka, a bird's heart, or even a, and the only reason is because less than a kezayis, or we're talking about also an animal heart, and the reason is because the blood is cooked. And number two, would the heart itself become an ulcer? According to Rashi, it would not, because it doesn't absorb at all. And according to Tosfos, it would, only if it was roasted could it possibly be mutter. In fact, one point is, the Nekudas HaKesef from the Shach points out that the Gemara that Tosfos is referring to in Menachos draws a distinction, actually, between a chatas chitzonis and chatas pnimis, a chatas where the blood is sprinkled on the outer mizbeach versus where it's brought into the heichel. And when he says that a person is not chayav for cooked blood, he may only be referring to a chatas pnimis, not like Tosfos is learning over here that would refer to blood in general. So let's focus first on the kachal, on the udder over here. So we said that you're supposed to tear open the udder in order to extract the milk. But if you didn't, then he said then you're not over on it. Now what does that mean? So Amar Zera, Amar Rav, ainah over olav umutra. Not only a person is not over on it, but it would be mutter to eat it. Even Jirabanan, we don't say that the Chachamim are going to ask for it. Because ultimately, even if you were to extract the milk, even if you were to actually milk the udder after the shechita and take out the milk and put it in a glass, then it would still be mutter on a daraisa level to cook it with meat, because again it's called shvuta. So here it's even better off because here it's absorbed in its place. So there wouldn't even be, so Rav Zera is telling us in the name of Rab, there wouldn't even be an issur d'rabbanan at best. So you should whip it open, but nevertheless, if you didn't, then you wouldn't be oiler. Now Rashi does point out in the Rishonim Rashi says that this is only as far as if he roasted it. If he cooked it without ripping it, then for sure it is going to be also ba'achila. But the fact is, cooking is going to cause. Here Rashi is saying the only reason it would be mutter d'rabbanan is because it didn't move from its place. Well, cooking is eventually going to change that. Milk is going to exude from the places where it was inside in the glands, and it's going to get reabsorbed in different places, and therefore, so then it's at least going to be also then it's at least going to be also d'rabbanan. So that's a point of Rashi. So there's Rishonim from Rashi that even that Rashi would hold that even Rav is only going to allow it only if it was roasted, not if it was cooked. On the other hand, Tosfos, on the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos disagrees with that and says that that even if it was cooked, it might be fine b'dieved. And we would say that Tosfos learns later on when the Gemara is going to say how you have to rip it open and bang it against the wall, etc. We're going to talk about soon. That would only be if you want to cook it with other meat. But to cook by itself, Tosfos learns that it would be fine to do even with the yevid, even if you didn't rip it at all. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Va'anan tanan ena over olav." But the Mishnah says, "Ena over olav." He's not over on it, which implies that miyavuhu delay olav. So he's not over on an iser daraisa ho iser ikra. It sounds like the Mishnah is implying that there is an iser. So how can Rav say that it would be mutter even that it would be mutter even d'rabban? And the answer is the dinu di sura nami leka. In fact, the Mishnah could be implying that there's no issue at all. But I did borrow the Mishnah, but because the Mishnah is going to continue with the case of the heart, halev koder moitzi es damai, that you have to rip open the heart and take out the blood like kroy in over olam. And if you didn't rip it, then you're not over on it. The heart tosam. Now in that case of the heart, miyavuhu delay over heart suriyka. Then he wasn't over, but there's still an issue because even if we're talking about, as Rashi said, the heart of a bird that has less than a kazayis of blood, there's no question. You're also not allowed to eat less than a kazayis of blood. A person just doesn't get karis for it. And the same thing, there's no question, according to Tosfos, that if the blood was cooked, it's also to eat d'rabbanan. It's a daraisa, a person wouldn't be chayav karis for it. So in the Sefer, it definitely has to use that expression, eina over olav, that he's not over, meaning that he's not over on an iser daraisa. So because of that, for parallelism, tananami reisha, eina over olav, therefore, the ratio also says Eina over Olav, even though in fact in the ratio, according to Rav, it might be mutter even d'rabbanan if he didn't rip the udder before cooking it. Again, according to Rashi roasting it, according to the way that we showed him, learn Rashi roasting it, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, even cooking it by itself. So that would be that. However, the Gemara says late. So the Gemara says fine. Lema Messiah. Can we say that a Braisa supports what Rav is saying? Because a Braisa says a Chal Poro Moitzi Eschalavoy. A Braisa says you have to rip open the Chal, the udder, and take out the milk. Loikroy, if he didn't rip it before cooking it or roasting it, ain't over olive, then he's not over on it. Halev Koro Moitzi Eschalavoy. The heart you also have to rip before salting it and take out the blood. Loikroy. And if you didn't rip it, then you still have to rip it after it's cooked, and then it'll be mutter to eat. Now, why would that be effective? Again, if we take the view, like Rashi, because the heart muscle to begin with didn't absorb any blood, so what good is it going to do to rip it afterwards? Therefore, we have to be talking about where it was roasted, and according to roast, and when it was roasted, so then you only have the problem, any blood that the heart muscle absorbed, it also exuded during the roasting, and the only problem is the blood that's left in the middle of the heart, and the chambers in the heart, and that you can rip it afterwards, and remove it. So if we say according to Rashi, the heart muscle doesn't absorb, then it would mean fine. The heart didn't absorb anything. The only question is that blood in the middle, and therefore it'll work to rip it to the effort afterwards. As opposed to according to Tosfos, if the heart muscle does actually absorb in cooking, then Tosfos will explain that all Gemara over here is speaking specifically about where you roasted it, where their attacker didn't absorb anything. Okay, in any case, the Braisa is saying, Levu deboi krita, so the implication is that only the heart needs to be torn after the fact, avachal leboi krita, but it sounds like the udder or not. Once you've cooked it, then b'dieved, you don't need to do anything with it. So therefore we see from this Braisa that yes, even if you didn't whip it, it's still mutter d'rabbanan. It's still mutter even d'rabbanan. Now, Tosfos does bring up the question. Now, wait a minute, though. The fact is, you could say the other way around. Still, the Braisa says Eina over Olav, implying that there is some kind of issue. But still, Tosfos says, okay, because the Mishnah had said Eina over Olav, so the Braisa uses the word Eina over Olav as well. That doesn't necessarily mean that, in fact, it would be also Dirabbanon. Maybe, indeed, Maybe indeed it would be mutter, so it would be mutter even the Rabbanon. So you could say, therefore, you could understand the Braisa that way, and you could say that, then you could say, therefore, that it supports Rav's opinion. So according to that way of looking at it, then again, what the Mishnah is saying, what the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying, that with both the chal and the heart, you are supposed to rip them open before you do anything further with them. In the case of the chal, it would mean as far as cooking it. In the case of the heart, it would be as far as salting it. And then you're supposed to rip it open. If you didn't, then we're saying when it comes to the so far we're saying that with the chal. According to what Rav is saying, and according to what the Braisa seems to be supporting him, is that if you didn't rip it, then even b'dieved, it's mutter after the fact. Again, according to Rashi, only if it was roasted, and according to Rabbeinu Tam, even if it was cooked, as long as it wasn't cooked with other meat. And as far as the horse, though, you do have to rip it afterwards. Again, either you have to rip it afterwards to get out the blood in the middle of it and then the chambers of it. And according to Tosfos, in addition, we have to be talking about where the heart was roasted, and therefore it didn't absorb any blood. So Tosfos points out, in other words, according to the first version we're talking about over here, again, when it comes to the milk in the chal, it's not included. It's not the type that's also in Atarda, and it's only in the Rabbanan because people are going to think that it's regular milk. So now, when it's already cooked, then there's only a little bit left, and therefore the Chacham, we're not going to bother with it and require him to rip it afterwards. Whereas according to the second version, as we're going to say now, then it's different than we're going to say. So all that is one version of what Reb Zeder reported in the name of Rav. The Ikadam, the others say no. Omer Reb Zeder, Omer Rav, you know, over all of that, no. If he cooked the cow, or roasted it, according to Rashi, without ripping it, Eina over all of, he's not over on a Jaraisa level, the also, but nevertheless, it's also Midrabanan. So in the first version, we said it would be Mutu even Midrabanan. In the second version, we're saying no, it would actually be also Midrabanan. Because it absorbed milk during the cooking or during the roasting, and therefore it's going to be awesome. So the Gemara says, Lema Masayale, what can we say? That Rav is supported by the words of our Mishnah, Eino Over Olav, where the Mishnah had said that if he didn't rip it, then he's not over. Mirvahu Delay Olav, implying he's not being over on an Isser Daraisa, or Isser Ita, implying that there is an Isser. And you can't even say, Tosfos says, you can't even say that it just means it's also if you cook it, but it would be mutter if you roast it, because then he should have said, im like kroy mutter, if he didn't rip it, it would be mutter, and we would understand that how could that be, would have to be where it's roasted. So you could say that, you know, over all of just means that he's not over daraisa, but it would still be also drabana. The Gemara says, no, again, Bidinhu is sort of Nami Lekka. You could argue, like we said before, in fact, you could argue there's no Isser Dirabanan either, but I need to borrow the Mishnah Sefer, Alev Kodo, Moitzias Domei, because in the Sefer, it has to talk about the horn. You have to rip it open and remove the blood. Loi Kroy, and you're over all of it. And if you didn't rip it, then you're not over. The Hossam, Mirahu Delay Ova, are you sort of Ikka? And in that case, of the horn, there's no question that if he didn't rip it, then he is over Dirabanan. Because there's still blood left in it, and even if it's less than a kazayis, it's still chatzi shir, which is still also minatara, or it's still also dirabanan, because even though it's cooked blood, so since it has to mention over there, eino over all of, and tonanami resha, eino over all of, therefore the resha also says, eino over all of, even though indeed there's no issu, even dirabanan. So there's no proof necessarily from our Mishnah for the second version of Rab that it will be also dirabanan, maybe not, that the wording of the Mishnah can be construed either way. Okay. The Gemara says, Toshma, well, let's move from the Braisa that we just brought before. You have to rip open the cow and take out the milk before you do anything further with it. And if you didn't rip it, ain't over all of it, then you're not over. The heart you have to rip and take out the blood, and if you didn't rip it, then you rip it after it's cooked, or mutter, or roasted, or according to the different understandings of your training, or mutter, and it'll be mutter. Implying levu debori kriya, so implying only the heart has to be torn after the fact because it has blood collected inside it. Avakal lebori kriya, implying though that the chal, the udder, does not even need ripping and it can be eaten. Whereas according to the second version of Rab, it would be also drabanan. So again, in the first version, we would say that once you cooked it, so much milk got exuded and you only have a little bit that the Chachamim are not going to worry about it. But in the second version, we would say that basically the Chachamim are making this milk considered like full-fledged milk, and therefore it'll be also, derabanan. As opposed to, again, with the heart, either you would say it doesn't get absorbed according to Rashi, or we're talking about where it was roasted according to Tosfos, and therefore there's less of an issue. Okay, in any case, the Braisa seems to pretty clearly be saying, or implying, that if you didn't rip the cow after the fact, then it still remains mutter. Even the Rabbanan. And the answer is no. On the contrary, maybe the Braisa is implying with the heart, it's enough to rip it after the fact. Because again, you have the heart muscle itself didn't absorb, the concern is only about the blood that's inside the chambers of the heart. But when it comes to the udder, maybe you could argue, they sagulate the kriya. On the contrary, maybe ripping it is not enough after it was cooked. Maybe then it's too late, it already absorbed enough milk that therefore it's going to be also dirabanan. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kalishna Kama Dirab. We learn another braisa that goes like Rav's first lashon. Namely, the braisa says, Kal Shabishle Bahalava, if a person was over and cooked the kal with the milk inside, mutter, then it remains mutter. So when it says mutter, it means clearly even the rabban. On the other hand, keva, shabishla b'chalava also. On the other hand, if you take the stomach of a baby animal that drank milk from its mother, and it still has, when you shecht it, and you find this milk that it drunk still in its keva, in its stomach, also, then that stomach is going to be also, if you cooked it with the milk without removing it first, also then that stomach would be also to eat. An interesting point, by the way, a side point, we learned earlier in the Masechta, we talked about all about the digestive systems of kosher animals, how they have four stomachs and how the food goes from one to the other until eventually it gets more fully digested in the fourth stomach, which is similar to ours. But we learned there an interesting point, actually, that when it comes to baby animals, there's a special thing, a special bypass that Hashem created in them, which goes directly so that the milk that it drinks, instead of having to pass through those first stomachs, goes directly to the fourth stomach to be able to be digested over there, because the need, the other processes that you need in the other ones, the milk is not going to be formed into cud, and it doesn't have to go through the bacterial pre-digestion that the rest of it does, etc. It goes straight to the fourth stomach over there, and then the baby will start digesting it. So that's what we're talking about over here. It nursed very shortly before it was shechted, and now you check it and you still find a collection of milk inside the stomach. So then we're saying if you cooked it without removing that milk, then it will be awesome. And the Braisa says, what's the difference between the udder and the stomach? The difference is zek konus meir. The milk in the stomach is collected in one place. So you have one solid collection of milk, and therefore you can say that it made it also when it was cooked together. The zek konus meir, as opposed to the milk in the cow, it's not collected in one place. It's dispersed among the different glands. It's dispersed throughout the whole cow, and therefore, so you have less of a. So once it comes out of the udder, then it becomes full fledged milk. But like this, when it's still in the udder, when the animal was alive, it never collected in one place. So therefore, it's not really considered filth. So midirabanan, you have to rip it, but midiraisa, midirabanan, you're going to say you have to rip it, but if you didn't, then even the chachamim are not going to impose a gzera not to eat it. So we see that's like Rav's first version, that you are supposed to rip it, but b'dieved, if you didn't, then we can be mocked to it because it's all dispersed and absorbed within the udder, and it's not really collected in any one place like it is in the stomach. Now again, according to Rashi, we're specifically talking about it here, when would it be mutter? Though only if you roasted it. And Rashi points out, even though the Braisa has been using the word bishul, what we do find, even in Tanakh, where the word bishul actually means cooking. Rashi refers to a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that refers to them cooking the Pesach. And we know you don't cook the Pesach, you roast it, so it means that cooking, the word bishul, in a more general sense, includes roasting as well. So according to Rashi, we're talking strictly where the udder was roasted, and then we're saying that it's mutter b'dieved. But if it was cooked, then no, because then there's no question that milk exuded from one part and got absorbed into another. According to Tosfos, according to Rabbeinu Tam, It would actually be that only if you cooked it with other meat is there a problem, because then the other meat absorbs from it, but from it itself, Tosfos learns that it's not a problem. The diyeved, even though, of course, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, you do need to rip this. Okay. So we have a braisa like that first version of Rahab. Okay, so the Gemara says, Kate said, Purdy. When we're talking about ripping it, what do we mean by ripping? Whenever you heard it, Purdy, Shesi, Ve'edev, means you have to rip it along the length and along the width so that you get out as much of the milk as possible, the Tochei, Ve'koiso, and you have to press it against the wall to squeeze out as much of the milk as possible. And in fact, the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Elazar L'shamei, Rabbi Elazar says to his Meshamesh, to his servant, Krali v'ano echo, rip me a cow, and I will eat from it. So in other words, we see that it has to be ripped. So the Gemara says, my kamash malon. Well, what is Rabbi Elazar telling us? That must be me. We said that that's a braisa, that we said the mission. In other words, obviously Rabbi Elazar might have to give instructions to the Shamash, but the point is, in other words, we assume the Shamash is already familiar with the relevant meaning. But Rabbi Elazar is specifically telling him, Krali vano echol, it sounds like he's telling him some kind of chiddush that wouldn't have been known before. So what is he telling him? And the answer is, for Kamash Mon, Rabbi Elazar wants to tell us that according to his opinion, the Lebe'in and Shesi Ve'edah, the Tokh of the Poisel, it wouldn't require, when he just says Kra, whip it, means it doesn't need a full-fledged whipping. It can be either Shesi or Erev in one direction or another, because then at that point it'll start dripping out, and that's that. So he would hold that Shesi the Erev is required, Rashi explains, only if you're going to cook it. So then, again, otherwise it's going to get absorbed into the meat, but otherwise if you're roasting it, then it would be fine. So therefore, so Rabbi Elazar is telling us Shamash, Krali v'ano echel, meaning just do a rip in one direction, that'll be enough, and then you can roast it for me and it'll be good enough. Again, that's according to Rashi, according to Rabbi Natan, it means that he can tell him even you could cook it with only a little bit of whipping, with only whipping in one direction, that's fine as long as you don't cook it with other meat. In fact, there was a gusa that you only need chesed ve'edev ela l'kadeva, only to cook it in a pot. And Rashi brings sifik gusa, and the Rambam apparently also had that gusa as well. Tosfos also does, but they explain l'kadeva means to cook it with other meat. So you have different understandings about that when you need the reef. The reef has a gusa that you don't need shesi ve'edev or it's for the pot. In other words, according to one way of looking at it, Rabbi Elazar disagrees that you need shesi ve'edev. He's saying one is enough, or that he's not arguing. He's saying that you need that even that he's saying that shesi ve'edev and pressing against the wall is good even for cooking it in a pot. Okay, so in this connection, the Gemara brings another story in this connection with the following important preface. The Gemara says, Amrle Yalta to Rav Nachman. Yalta said to Rav Nachman, her husband. Yalta, we find elsewhere, was the daughter of the Reish Velosa, and as we'll see from this Gemara, she was a very wise woman in Torah. She says, Nechti, let's consider, Kol to Osir Lan Rachmana, anything that Hashem told us is Osir, Shor Lan Kavasei, Hashem gave us something parallel to it, which is Mutter. So one idea is, in other words, you should, why is that important? Marsha explains this way. You shouldn't think they're also because of Svara. You should realize that they're also because of Gzeiras Melech. Because Hashem said so, and that's that, and we keep the mitzvahs, whether we understand the reason or not. They're on the face of it. You could say, maybe Hashem is asking to us a certain kind of experience, but then in that case, it should be also across the board, and yet Hashem allows us a very similar one. So there's that, another point. Sofer says a point this way, for example, it helps counteract the Yetzirah, or Yetzirah, your Yetzirah is going to tell you, indulge in this Isser, and you tell him, I don't need to, if you really want to have this taste or this experience or whatever, I can find something parallel to it, which is Heter. And there's a number of other ideas behind this point of what Yalta is saying, of that everything that Hashem asked to us made to us something corresponding to it that's Mutter. There's an interesting thing about Victor Miller brings in some of his Svarim. He says this is the beginning of the argument between the Nachash HaChadmoni and Chava. Hashem had told Adam and Chava not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, so now what does the Nachash come to Chava? He says, you can't, did Hashem really say you can't eat from any of the trees? Like the Nachash is trying to argue, if you can't eat from one tree, then it affects you, you can't eat from any trees, it's like the whole, everything has off limits to you, Hashem is just being mean. And Chava right away answers, the creates a gun nofer, we can eat from all the other trees except for the one. Meaning she's saying, like Yalta is saying over here, don't think Hashem is being mean and Hashem just doesn't want us to have certain pleasures. Hashem wants us to control ourselves, and therefore Hashem gives us various yisurim, but for each one of them Hashem gives us something parallel to it, which is mutter. So Yalta starts giving a long list of them. For example, Osalon Doma, Hashem asked to us to eat blood, Shodalon Kavda, but Hashem allowed us to eat liver. Even though the liver is so much absorbed with blood, that as we're going to learn later on in the Perek, we're going to learn in a couple of days, that the liver actually has special dinim as far as preparing it. You can't salt it and cook it in the normal way because it contains too much blood. It's actually considered, in effect, as though it was one big clot of blood itself, but nevertheless, you can roast it and eat it. So therefore, so even though the Torah asks us to eat blood, nevertheless, you're allowed to eat liver, which is soaked with blood. Nida. She continues, we have an Isser to have relations with a Nida, Dam Toyar, but you have, after a woman has given birth, there's a certain period of time, where Minat Torah, and even the Dirabanan, you're allowed to have relations with her even when she's bleeding, for after you have 7 days of Tumah and for a boy and 14 for a girl, and then you have 33 days of Tara for a boy and 66 for a girl. Eventually, the universal Minag became to Aster having relations during that time, but that's a Minag, that's not Minat Torah or Dirabanan, that's a Minag that developed later. So you have examples where blood is flowing and you're still able to have relations. Tosfos gives other examples over here from a Piyut, the Rebbe Elazar HaKaller, that you have other examples. You're not allowed to eat blood, but you're allowed to eat the spleen, which is where blood vessels break down, and it also contains a lot of blood in it. Instead of nida, you have that, dam besulim, where one first has relations, and you have blood of besulim. Again, on a raisa level, at least you're still allowed to continue having relations. We'll learn about all that in second nida vestishen. And you have several other examples, but he said where Tosfa says that he got that from a Yerushalmi. So Yalta continues. Chela behema. Hashem asked us to eat chela from a domestic animal. Instead, we have chela chaya. We can eat the same chela from a wild animal. Chazir, we're not allowed to eat pork, but instead, moicha b'shibuta, instead we have the brain of the shibuta fish, which tastes like that. Similarly, girusa, there's a type of non-kosher bird called girusa we can't eat, and instead Hashem gave us, lishna de kavra, the tongue of a certain kind of fish, which tastes like that. Eshes ish, we're not allowed to have relations with a married woman, but you have, as a parallel to that, grusha b'chaye baila, a woman who was divorced and her husband is still alive. So there's a certain similarity to an eshes ish, that her husband is still alive, and yet such a thing is completely mortal. Eshes och, you're not allowed to marry your brother's wife, but you have yibama, but you can do yibum, and that's actually a mitzvah. Husis, you're not allowed to marry a goita, but in parallel, you have your fast Torah, you have the din, and then in this week's parasha of your fast Torah where you capture a goyish woman in battle and you're allowed to marry her, it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos elsewhere, whether the soldier is allowed to have relations with her the one time before she's a skier. According to Rashi, yes, according to Tosfos, not necessarily, but even so, I mean, she's still, even according to Tosfos, she's still being a skier kind of under duress, and therefore it's similar in a certain sense to having relations with a goita. And therefore, again, as Rashi says on our parasha, lo divrei Torah, l'kenegad yetzahara, the Torah is counteracting the yetzahara, where otherwise the soldier might marry her be'isser, and therefore the Torah is giving him a way out. So she gives this whole list of, she's given this whole list of things that are, where you have something where the Torah says it's also, and you have something parallel to it, which is mutter. And you have different other examples that can be brought. Again, Tosfos points out, Rebbe Elazar HaKaller in a Piyut brings different other examples. Yada points out that the Gemara could have also brought other examples as well, but it wants to find Yalta to continue bringing other examples. But in particular, she wants to focus on ones where Maharam Shif already points out. For example, what about Shatnez? Not allowed to wear Shatnez, but the Kohenim are allowed to wear it for the Bigdei Kohuna, and a man is allowed to wear it for Tzitzis. Fine. So, but the point is, there you're not talking about something of Hanah. She wants to focus on things where you have some kind of Hanah, where you have some kind of pleasure from the Isser, and instead Hashem is giving you a parallel heter. Shatnez is not so much of a Hanah. And then Ben Yehoyada points out, in addition, it also applies only to men, the heter for it to wear tzitzis, and Bikni Kuna wouldn't apply to women at all. But in any case, the point is we have this longness. So now she says to her husband, Rav Nachman, V'inu l'mecho bisru b'chalva, b'chalava. So now, I want to eat the equivalent of basa b'chalav. What is the parallel of basa b'chalav that would be mutter? And in answer, Amalur Rav Nachman, the Tabri, Rav Nachman says to his cooks, Zviku lo kachli, go roast her an udder. Where again, the udder, when it's roasted, we're saying it still contains some of the milk, and therefore there's going to be the equivalent of basa b'chalav that she's asking for. So, again, according to Rashi, that was saying the whole time, that was saying that the heter is more when you roast it, then you don't have to rip it open first to remove the milk. So, therefore, so you're able to roast it, and there's still going to be a certain flavor of milk in it, and it will still be mutter even the rabbanan. According to Tosfos rather learns differently, that it means that it can even be, that it's cooked without, it's even cooked in a pot without ripping, again, as long as it's not with other meat. So therefore, so she'll have a taste of basa b'chalav in that. Ben Yehoyada points out, why does she say, I want to eat basa b'chalav? Why does she just ask, well, give me the example, the Nachman, my husband, give me an example, where there's a parallel of basa b'chalav that's allowed. And the answer is, then Rav Nachman could tell her something which is allowed in that Torah, but it's still also dirabanan. So she says, I want to eat it, meaning I want something that's mutter, even dirabanan, where is the example? And Rav Nachman says, an utter. So the Gemara asks, didn't we say that you have to rip it? So then in that case, if you rip it, then get the milk out. The milk flavor is gone, so she's still not going to have the parallel of basa b'chalav that's mutter. And the answer is, ahu l'kedeira. That's talking about when you want to cook it in a pot, which again, according to Rashi, means even if you want to cook it by itself, then you need to do that, because then again, the milk is going to get absorbed and then reabsorbed in different places, whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's going to be mutter to cook in a pot without ripping it, and the fact that you have to rip it and all is only if you're going to cook it with other meals. So you have this machlokas of what Rav Nachman meant, how the udder should be prepared, and that's going to depend on these opinions of Rashi and Tosfos of when it's allowed without ripping and when not. So the Gemara says, well, katani should bishloi, but doesn't the Mishnah and doesn't the Braisa say if you cooked it, which implies b'di'evet it would be mutter. So b'di'evet ein l'chatchiloloi, so only b'di'evet, but not l'chatchilo. And the answer is how who adin after l'chatchilo. In fact, it would be mutter to roast it with the milk, even l'chatchilo, or according to Tosfos, to cook it with the milk in it, even l'chatchilo, as long as it's by itself. But idea katani the kabori, the misni sefer. But again, because the sefer is going to continue, keva shabishla b'chalova asura, that if the keva, if the stomach of the nursing animal was cooked with the milk in it, then it will be also, and that's dafu diyeved nami loy, and that will be also even be diyeved, because then there's no question it was full fledged milk, and now it got absorbed into the meat. So therefore, chonanami reisha shabishla. Therefore, the reisha also continues. Therefore, the reisha for parallelism also uses the word shabishla that he cooked it, even though in fact in the reisha it would be mutter. Even l'chatchila. Again, if we went to Rashi, bishlo over here means specifically roasting it would be mutter, but to cook it, you would in fact have to do shesi ve'erev and all that. According to Tosfos, no. According to Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos, no. It would be mutter even if you cook it, as long as you're cooking it by itself and not with other meat, because again, you're only talking about milk, which is also d'rabbanan, and therefore it would be mutter all by itself. And Tosfos goes through phrase by phrase of the whole sugya over here and explains how that would fit according to Rabbeinu Tam's shita. In any case, the point is, Rav Nachman is telling and saying that there is a way. Yalta is saying there has to be a way of parallel of basa b'chalav that's mutter. There is the parallel where you have, there's a way of preparing an udder where you're still going to be able to detect the flavor of milk in it, and nevertheless, it's completely mutter, not only minat Torah, but even d'rabbanan.